Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I'm in the dimension being in the Sunbury Motors studio where I'm sitting here saying, hey, let's go to Brewers Outlet tonight. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. On top of it, they have water, soft drinks, wine coolers, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels. All at Brewers Outlet. One-stop shopping for the weekend. Go over there tonight. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Guarded by Jameer Nelson. High pick from Tyson Chandler. Three-pointer Bledsoe. That one's no good. Rebound tipped by Jokic to himself. Outlet pass over to Jameer Nelson. Bucket here. Phoenix may call a timeout. Jameer pull-up three. Yeah!
Say, Jameer Nelson is a guy that if the Cavaliers paid a little bit of dough for, I don't mean the NBA veteran minimum, but if they paid a little bit of money and threw a little bit in his direction, not a ton, but a little bit, he'd be a perfect fit for the Cavaliers. It's our play-by-play call of the day. So, we've got really an empty weekend in a lot of ways coming up. You've got the Pro Bowl, so what? You've got the NHL All-Star Game. So what? And really an empty way. A lot of college basketball. The Coaches versus Cancer game is coming up tomorrow here at the Jordan Center. $4, by the way, from every ticket. $4 goes to Coaches versus Cancer. It's a pretty sizable commitment to do that, and it's a cause that means a lot to the basketball program here, means a lot to Penn State. So $4 from every ticket tomorrow will go to Coaches versus Cancer. And then they have a big game coming up tomorrow with Illinois. Now, they've got three of the next four games coming up here. And it starts with Illinois tomorrow, then at Indiana on Wednesday. Indiana got blown out last night by Michigan in a game that took place at Ann Arbor last night at Chrysler Center. And they blew them out. And the...
I know Pat has his boys already focused and moving ahead, but just kind of looking back in retrospect, does it make that last-second loss to Indiana even more frustrating the way that they've been playing since that Penn State game?
It's always going to be. I mean, it's always going to be. But remember, Penn State, they had to fight back from, 14 down with 5.5 to play. They put themselves in a hole. I mean, so the last-second shot is one thing, but it's more than that. Because you were down by 14 and you had to get yourself back in the ball game, and then you hit a pair of free throws with 4.6 seconds to go, and you finally feel like, okay, maybe they're going to do it. And then it turned out that Blackman hit that last-second shot. But they were also down in that. And that's one of the things coming up in tomorrow's game. Look, you got to get off to a start in this game. You got to play with the lead. You know, when this team plays with the lead, 9 times out of 10, they're a pretty good group playing with the lead. that's not the issue. I mean, they get to the lead, they're usually pretty good at closing it out. So that's what they need to do. They need to get to the lead. Pretty simple. A lot more difficult to do, but still, you know, that's the proposition. Get yourselves in front, especially with a team that hasn't won a game on the road this year. Because Illinois has not won a game on the road this year. They've won three neutral site games, but not going into somebody else's building and winning. So that's what they need to do, and they need to convert inside the arc. I mean, that's what they, inside the arc, they have to. I mean, they've hit 37.5% or under in their last four games. It's a big reason why there's been some struggle. Well, they're now going up against a team defensively in Illinois, which is dead last in the league in two-point defense, 57%. So the door is open, as far as I'm concerned. But again, get to the lead, play with some confidence tomorrow. They've got three of the next four home. They go to Indiana, then they've got Rutgers here, and then they have Maryland here. And I think that I see a window of opportunity here for them. Look, they've got the talent. This is not a question of them going out and being the undermanned team. They're just the inexperienced team. As I pointed out for the Wisconsin game, it is not an excuse. It's just a statement of fact. 57% of the points garnered this year by Wisconsin have been from their seniors. 47% of Penn State's points have been garnered from their freshmen. Okay. So everybody knows what it's supposed to, where they are and what they've been going against. I knew going into the Purdue-Wisconsin back-to-back games in 72 hours, I knew back in October that was a danger zone. Knew back in October is a danger zone. You're the two of the better teams in the league, back-to-back on the road, young team. Well, now you're back home. You got to be able to take the back-home thing, and you got to turn it into a positive for you. I mean, they have to do that. And we'll find out starting tomorrow. That is, it is an absolute 50-50 game. And you're right now in that jumble of not really 3 through 10. Now it's really 4 through 10, 4 through 11. Like 4 through 11 now, because it's obvious now that Purdue and Wisconsin have separated themselves from the pack, and Northwestern's now right in the neighborhood with them. So now you're looking 4 through 11 in this league, really bunched and jumbled. So where can you make a move now? You now have an opportunity against this team. Twice in a two-week span, you've got Illinois. And I think those are a couple things that, you know, a couple items just to look at in tomorrow's game. Got to get Mike Watkins, Josh Reeves, and especially Lamar Stevens untracked. I mean, you really have to. You've got to get them untracked. And by getting them untracked, you can get yourself as a team untracked. The National Letter of Intent Day is coming up on Wednesday. Those who really follow recruiting, it's that hand-wringing weekend. Making sure they keep all their players. Who can they steal? Don't have anyone stolen from you. Okay. But I've always had... I shouldn't say, this was never my theory. Rip Engel told Joe Paterno, who then told everyone else as he went through, and Joe always credited Rip with saying this, okay? Don't worry about who you don't have. Worry about who you do have. Okay? Worry about who you do have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't start obsessing over the fact that X got this player and you didn't. Okay? Make what you have work. Now, for those who follow recruiting closely and are recruiting junkies, That is a very, very hard theory to follow. Because they obsess over all the time over who they don't have, who somebody else has. Okay? I always give the example, and I think it's the right example, of recruiting, and it's from 2005. In 2005, Penn State ended up with three guys that ended up playing wide receiver. Derek Williams, Deion Butler, Jordan Norwood. Could any of the three be more different? Derek Williams, part of our broadcast team on the Penn State Sports Network, doing a great job working the sidelines. Derek was the number one recruit in the country, an absolute must-have this guy. You must get him. He could be a difference maker for your program. Well, in conjunction with Justin King, Penn State got him. And Justin King and Derek Williams were exactly as advertised. They were difference makers in the program. They injected speed and excitement into what Penn State was doing. Derek Williams was a great kickoff return guy, a great punt return guy, a very good receiver that you could also utilize in the run game. They wanted to use the kind of guy who wanted to get as many touches as possible. He lived up to being a number one overall recruit. Then there's Deion Butler. Deion Butler was a walk-on. Woodbridge, Virginia. Great speed. Larry Johnson had seen him. Said, why don't you come on up and join us? He thought, look, this is a better offer I'm getting anywhere else. I'm going to go to Penn State. Came out there. First season, he's playing corner. I remember standing at practice in the preseason talking with Wayne Sebastianelli, and I said, Doc, who's three? He says, it's Deion Butler. I said, I'll tell you right now. I said, that kid's really good. I said, he's got really nice instincts. He's obviously a great athlete. Well, then after playing corner on the scout team in 2005, he then was moved over and I believe he was on the scout team in 2004. 2005, they then moved him to wide receiver, where he put together a great career.
I always loved it when he joined you and Jack on the postgame show.
Oh, I know. Deion was always there. He was always fun. He took my class, as you can tell. He'd make fun of me on the postgame show. And then there was Jordan Norwood. Gray shirt. Came in January, 6 months after his class, who then became a starter. So now the first overall recruit in the country, the walk-on, and the gray shirt all went on to NFL careers of 3 years or better. Jordan Norwood is still in the league. The reason I always bring up these three together is that in combination, they make up one of the truly great three wideout combinations in the history of Penn State football. All three went on to NFL careers. Derek mostly with the Detroit Lions for 3 years. Deion with the Seattle Seahawks and the Chargers. I think he ended up 5 years. And Jordan Norwood is still in the league, currently with the Denver Broncos, and holds the Super Bowl record for the longest punt return. All three in different recruiting realms. A gray shirt, a walk-on, and the most sought-after recruit in the country. Worry about what you have, not what you don't have. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get True Refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
When you're looking for a new Ford vehicle in Central PA, there's only one dealer with four city blocks of new Fords. It's Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is where you want to be with over 90 new F-150s priced from just $24,824. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 70 new Fords. Ford SUVs in stock with 2017 Ford Escapes on sale from only $19,880. SMC has 45 new Ford cars with Ford Fiestas starting as low as $13,975. Plus financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. You deserve to deal with the best. Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for best car dealership, best body shop, and best quick service. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC, satisfying more customers since 1915.
Don't you think it's a little desperate that you want to pick the Pro Bowl?
What was I thinking?
I was like, you want to tie my brother up in the standings? The only way to do it?
I mean, I got no other option. Thought that's what you wanted. Him not winning. I'm trying.
I think this is pathetic. I really do.
I know.
A meaningless exhibition game. Come on.
I think just for the fact that it's now NFC versus AFC again, I'll probably have to at least get a glimpse of it on Sunday night.
Yeah, because I mean, it was kind of hard to pick against Team Rice or whatever that was.
Right, Team Rice versus what? Team Prime versus Team Irvin 1 year. And hasn't the ratings for it gone up the last couple of years?
The ratings continue to be really good for it. It's been in the double digits, like 11s and 12s. And I mean, that's amazing. Now, it's on ESPN this year, so it's not going to get that kind of rating. But when it's been on over-the-air networks like NBC or whatever, it does well. I got to give it credit.
So here we go. We just got this email
from
the National Football League. A limited number of standing room only tickets are being made available for the sold out 2017 Pro Bowl. The addition of standing room only tickets is due to fan demand for the game.
Well, it's never been in Orlando before.
Yeah. NFL and the city of Orlando donating all proceeds to Special Olympics Florida.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that is very nice.
Very, very nice. I completely endorse that. By the way, the Special Olympics run into Beaver Stadium is going to be on Sunday, April 23rd, the Paterno family Special Olympics run.
Oh, day after the blue-white game, yes.
Where you finished the 50-yard line. Last year, James Franklin called out Sandy Barber and me in front of everybody. And so the next year we would be actually in the event instead of me just emceeing the event. I said, I told him I'd do it, so I'm doing it. I've also looked for every shortcut.
So when did your training start?
I'm just going to take a cab. I did the.
I know a buddy of mine does Uber in State College. He'll stop by your place.
it's a run walk. So I'll do the walk part. Okay, I'll do the walk part. That's
piece of cake.
I can walk miles. It's no big deal. Running has never been my strong suit. Just the physical beating of it. Walk, yeah, I can walk. I usually walk at a crisp pace usually. So I mean, I'll do the walk part. I mean, because I looked at the running part, and I took out this video, marathoning the Rosie Ruiz way, and I thought to myself, oh, this looks pretty good.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know the joke, she's the one that got into the Boston Marathon with about a mile to go and ended up winning it. And then they realized that she jumped in with a mile to go. So I had to strip her of the title.
You can kind of hang back behind the parking deck by the creamery. Just turn your way back into the road.
Yeah, she was out there around Cleveland Circle and then suddenly just showed up. And the people and the women in back of her are like, the heck did she come from? And they finally realized that where she came from was behind a bunch of parked cars at Cleveland Circle. Okay, well, that's about a mile from the finish line. All right, well done. Wow. Okay. Yeah, the marathoning, the Rosie Ruiz way. Loved it. Great series. let's see. Is Tigers playing today, right? Shot 76 yesterday, right? Let's see. Where is...
Yeah, it was four. Yeah, four over. Yes.
Where is our guy today? Has he gone out yet?
That was quite the pairing yesterday. He was with Jason Day and Dustin Johnson. Yeah. And Jason Day, he doesn't play a fast game, so Tiger kind of had to adjust to that.
He's even par today through 14, so he's still four over par, which means that he would not make the cut. The projected cut is even.
Justin Rose at minus eight, Brent Snedeker at seven under.
Actually, Rose is now up to nine under par.
There you go.
And Snedeker's at eight. Graham Dillette is at six. Hunter Mahan's at four. My brother's in the lead. And now is being forced to pick the Pro Bowl because there's one desperate guy on this broadcast.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestics microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, wine coolers, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and that pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels, love the bills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports bozos of the day. Louisiana Tech and UAB college basketball brawl broke out last night. Two players have now been suspended. Several players were thrown out of the game last night. Louisiana Tech ended the game with only four players available to finish. They win the sports bozos of the day.
So you've never called a game when a team is down to four players?
No, have not. There have been some games I've called where I felt one of the team only had four really good players, but not four players. And in a desperate move by Sean, and I do think it's desperate, he wants to predict the Pro Bowl because he's two games back of Kevin. I think it's all wrong.
It's over.
I think it's all wrong. I think it's desperate. I think it's small town.
By the way,
you wrote a song. By the way, this continues our all Enfield week. By the way, after having Peter King on yesterday and you today.
Well, he didn't write a song. I wrote a song.
Well, I know. He doesn't have the talent you do. No.
Are you ready?
As ready as I can be.
One, two, three, four. I made my picks. Time after time. Thank you. I Googled everything, but committed no crime and bad mistakes. I made a few. I allowed Sean back into it, and suddenly I knew I was screwed. And it goes on and on and on and on. We are the champion, my friends. And we'll go on fighting till the end.
This is just
we are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are are the champions.
You have no time for me.
Of the world. I told you, I'm a good loser and a horrible winner.
Kevin Mercury, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no, Fred.
Mic drop. Mic drop.
I've been practicing all week. Oof, I was nervous. Okay,
yeah, but what happens?
You.
What
you
happens
can all
if you?
Go now, so.
What happens if the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl don't go your way and Sean ties you?
We're not picking the Pro Bowl. I'm going on strike. They don't even play. They just sit there and play patty cake.
So I'll take that as a no.
Desperate. Hey, you guys were sure Pittsburgh was going to win, so.
New England's just much better. See, I mean, again, you try to, when you label a key to a game, part of the key to a game that you label it is not you saying it's going to happen. You're saying it's a pivotal part of the game. And I said, look, James Harrison and Bud Dupree are the keys to the game. Can they get pressure on Brady to then maybe get him out of whack? They never got close to him.
No.
In fact, I think both of them missed him in the handshake line. It's really, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, Phil Sims, I mean, I loved him as quarterback, but he's done that a lot to a broadcast. But he said something really, really important. The Patriots' offensive schemes are so complicated that sometimes they beat you just with their set because you don't know what they're going to do. You can't practice every set that they have. And they confuse the smartest defenses. And that's something Atlanta's going to have to contend with, that they have no idea what they're going to do. And they can have a formation, and they'll do something they never saw before. But the Patriots have been practicing it for 3 years, you know.
Or here's what they actually, you know, and I have a little bit of insight into this because obviously I watched Bill O'Brien do this at Penn State.
Right.
So I got a chance. They'll actually run the same plays, but they'll do it out of formations that you don't realize what they're coming at you with, and it turns out it's the same play.
Right.
And that's what they refer to as window dressing.
Yep.
And the window dressing comes in this regard. Look at all the stuff that Chris Hogan's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's Chris Hogan doing? Well, he's actually lining up in Rob Gronkowski's spot, and he's running Gronk's pass patterns. A wide receiver window dressed in that spot. That's what they're doing.
And he is wide open. You know,
especially as the end zone he is, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Patriots win this game big time.
I do too. I think they're going to win. I will say this. I think Matt Ryan will keep them in there because I think Matt Ryan,
Steve,
to his credit, is playing
Patriots.
Really well. Oh, I am going to pick the Patriots.
Well,
it wasn't
pick
like
the Patriots,
Well, I did get 89 winners this year. I wasn't. I did get 89 winners this year. I did not go 47-89.
No,
yeah, we're not going by the record from the Saturday Game Day Network broadcast. We're not going by that record, no.
Hey, you whipped me in the college thing, right?
Oh, did I? Okay.
I finished. I was in the basement.
I came in last.
I thought I came in last. I got the numbers.
I thought I did.
I always love when you guys fight over who's last. I love that part.
No song for that one.
No.
No, you did good in the college one.
No, you did good.
No, you did good. I love you, man. You see, I'm in the gym this morning, and this big guy, he goes, I'd say something, but we kicked your blank last week. I'm like, holy crap. And then he pulls his shirt up. He's got biceps the size of my leg, and he's got a New England Patriot tattoo on his bicep, and I have my Pittsburgh Steeler hat on. So I tell him, I said, no, I wear the hat for luck. I'm a Patriot fan. He goes, why are you wearing a hat? I said, because it's luck. What luck? I said, did they win? He goes, yeah. I said, well, I'm wearing a hat so they win the Super Bowl. So,
don't confuse people with logic.
No, he didn't snap my neck, so that was good. So.
I think that's a big plus.
Yes, I did come in last in the bowl picks. The suit, 27-13. Kevin, you and Steve were tied 23-17, and I brought up the rear with blackjack 21-19.
Oh no, blackjack! Yeah. I won $17 billion in my reels.
after you shared that number, after you texted me, I had to tell Steve that.
Is that when I hit the $8 billion?
Yeah, you're
yeah,
the, like
yeah.
8 million.
$8 billion. Yeah. I maxed out the machine. I said, there's no way the Patriots are losing. Well, $8 billion on one spin.
Well, next week we'll officially pick the Super Bowl. Then the week after, we'll start picking some college basketball games just to have some fun.
Yeah, well, we have to because we got to get practice because we got to get in. Another pool, but we got March Madness.
But you know what? The NCAA tournament committee is doing something that I like that's really smart. In fact, they're doing two things I really like that are really smart. One that's going to happen now, and I think one that might happen next year. And what they're going to do is they're going to put out February 11th the top four seeds in each region as a snapshot as to the moment.
Hmm.
And I think that's really smart. I would like to see them do that every week leading into Selection Sunday. I think they're only going to do it the 11th and then come back on whatever it is, March 12th.
Why are they doing this?
They're doing it to get people interested in basketball. Same way that obviously in football, you saw in football every week.
Yeah.
In the month of November, the College Football Playoff Committee would put out rankings, and so we'd all sit here and talk about, oh, look, Penn State's 12th, Penn State's 7th, Penn State's 5th. You know, why is Texas A&M 4th? Washington's now 4th. Why is, you know, Michigan 3rd? And so you, for an entire month, you debate and talk about it and it increases interest. They feel by putting
Penn State basketball doing this year?
11-10, 65 in the RPI right now.
Well, that's not
three,
bad.
Three of the next four are here.
They beat Michigan State, right?
Beat Michigan State. Then had two really tough guys. I think the two best teams in the league are Purdue and Wisconsin. Penn State just played them back-to-back on the road. It didn't go well. So now they've got Illinois here tomorrow. Now, what's surprising to me about Illinois is this. It's not that I don't think they're talented. I think Malcolm Hill is an excellent scorer. Maverick Morgan's a pretty good player in the middle. A couple guys off the bench like Finke are pretty good. But they're 13-8. They'd lost three in a row before they beat Iowa at home the other night. And they're 42nd in the RPI. And I'm looking and thinking, about, how the heck are they 42nd in the RPI? I mean, see, the RPI is one of the more overrated stats. That's why that goes to the second point I'm going to make, that starting next year, they're going to start incorporating some analytics into this. And it's a website that you probably don't use, Kev, but like Dick Girardi and I use.
I can't even spell it. I couldn't even Google it. I like the analytic.
it's Ken Pomeroy, so we call it, it's kenpom.com. And he breaks everything down from possessions per game, points per possessions, defensive points per possession.
March Madness, the brackets and stuff?
They're going to do this. They're going to incorporate it as a tool, not the be-all, end-all, but maybe a tool to separate a couple of teams when they get to the picks 34, 35, 36.
Right.
And then separating out 37, 38, 39 starting next year. And I think that's smart to do because it at least is a snapshot that is not the be-all, end-all, but might give you some insight as to what you're looking at and what you're looking for.
I think it gets it through the first 32, and after that, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever team is peaking at that time is going to do very well. You know, you can have a great year and just fall apart at the end. So UConn stole a couple national championships that way.
Right.
They were not the best team in the country, but they peaked at the right time.
And Connecticut, I mean, the Big Ten right now has two teams that have separated themselves in Wisconsin and Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I think Northwestern is probably the number three team right now.
What happened to Michigan State?
Too young.
Oh, okay.
You can't keep losing talent early and not have it affect you. And, for example, Deonte Davis, freshman. And then, of course, they had Denzel Valentine, a true senior, on last year's team. Well, they lost both of them to the draft. Valentine, they knew were going to lose. But Davis was a true freshman, left early. This kid, Miles Bridges, who scored 33 the other night, he's going to go early, too. He's out. There's just no way he's staying. And I think Ward, the other kid's not going to stay either. And I think this is part of Duke's problem.
NBA should step in. You can't ruin college basketball, and that ruined that idiot in Kentucky has ruined the sport.
But he's playing by the rules.
By the rules, but his players don't even go to class.
That's a big problem.
He brings them in to play basketball, and then they leave, and he gets all the top freshmen in the country, and that's not fair. I'd tell him to his face if I could. Challenge him to a fist fight.
There you go.
I'll never forget what you told me at UMass. It was a long time ago. Sean, we were there watching the game, and Calipari, this is in the old cage, it was called, at UMass. And I mean, they had a dirt track around the court. You're watching Penn State play UMass, and you could tell UMass's coach was different. There was something different about him. So after the game, I asked Steve, I said, who is this guy? And he goes, that's Calipari. I said, he's quite a coach. He goes, yeah, but you watch. He'll bring this program all the way up, and then he'll leave it in disgrace. And he did the same thing at Pitt when he was an assistant coach. And he left UMass, and I think he went to the pros, and then he went to Memphis, and he ran that into the ground. And now he's in Kentucky cheating there. He's nothing but a cheat. And you were so spot on with that. He did everything you said he was going to do.
Well,
I was proud of you that day.
But this is actually an NBA issue, and the reason is it's the NBA, and believe it or not, it's not the league's issue. It's the Players Association issue. This is one of the more stunning things I've seen in sports. They just signed a 7-year collective bargaining agreement. They can renegotiate after 6, okay? But the owners wanted 2 years and 20 years of age to get into the NBA. And the Players Association has continued to insist on 1 year and 19.
Wow.
And it's actually it's the Players Association.
Why do they have so much power?
Well, I mean, for the NBA, they don't want to fight it. I mean, there's so many other things monetarily to fight. So that's one fight that's like, okay, forget it. We're not going to fight that.
But you know what? There's no more players more juiced up than basketball players. And they don't even have a testing. They don't even test the guys. And they're all juiced. Did you see Carmelo Anthony? He gets to pick the team he gets traded to. He gets to pick who he gets traded for. Who sets up deals like this?
It is a completely different league. Well, the Players Association thing baffles me because I thought it was your job to take care of your current rank and file, and not your future rank and file. Aren't you supposed to take care of the veterans that are already in the league? Wouldn't you want to delay some college talent getting in to protect your current rank and file, your veterans?
Yeah.
Yet they go 180 of that, and they do this. Now, the league's not going to fight it because there's just too many monetary issues that you're fighting on to fight that battle. You know, there's no need to fight that battle.
I don't know. So, college is to go to school. not to be a minor leagues for the NBA, and it's turned into a minor league for the NBA. And it's who's ever willing to stretch the rules will get the best freshman.
Well, and
that's it. They don't have to go to school. They don't have to do anything. They're just there to play basketball and then leave. And the NCAA can be tough when they want to be tough and then turn their eyes the other way when they want to turn their eyes the other way because of money. And they want the money. So I hope Kentucky loses in the first round. I can't stand that freaking guy. And then his other buddy over at Louisville, I hope he loses in the first. I hope they play each other. I can sit there and say, kill him, kill him, kill him. It doesn't matter. I'm not rooting for either one of them.
They play each other in the second round. That'll give the bracketology people the four letters, something to talk about leading up to it.
That's true.
I can't wait for that. Hey, just for the record, in the game where we played for pay, I won $180. So
there you go.
Thanks.
All right.
And you guys helped because I had to do my homework each week to figure things out. So.
I admit I didn't do any homework, but that's all right. Because
no,
I've
was
got
fun.
Oh, no,
we got the next thing will be March Madness.
Yeah, I mean,
gearing up.
I mean, the issue for me on doing homework on games is the fact I got to do so much homework on a game.
No, I know.
You know? But it doesn't matter. You were better. So
the only reason I won is I got ahead early. And when you get ahead early, when you're picking
you just named the key to tomorrow's basketball game. Get out and get ahead. Play with the lead.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, have a good weekend. That went fast.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 51. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.